We're going to be beginning a new series this morning is in John's Gospel. And as we've already mentioned, John's Gospel begins by presenting this wonderful image of who Jesus is. This enormous image, really, that Jesus, the Word of God, was there at the beginning, is in all things and is all through all things. But one of the interesting things about the way that the gospel then unfolds is very much a series of people meeting Jesus, of encounters with Jesus, and all sorts of people, men and women, young and old, religious and those from not a religious background, educated, uneducated, rich and poor. People from all places, all backgrounds, all different angles come and meet Jesus. And they meet him in different places and at different times. Some as part of a crowd, some a one-to-one meeting. Sometimes in the daylight, sometimes in the darkness. A room at night, all sorts of places that they meet with Jesus. And as you read through the gospel, you have this sense of sometimes being there as an eavesdropper, a fly on the wall, if you like, listening in on these conversations. But what you can't fail to notice is that everyone who meets Jesus, everyone who has an encounter with Jesus, they are changed by it. They are transformed through it. And we're going to follow a series over the coming weeks, a series that will take us up to Easter, just beyond Easter actually, meeting some of these people who met Jesus and thinking about how their lives were transformed and how he still transforms lives today. And our reading this morning comes from the first chapter of John. John chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 35 through to 51. So John 1, 35 to 51. The words will be on the screen, or you might want to follow on your Bibles if you have them. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. We thank God for his word to us. What a day. What a day when someone meets Jesus and recognizes that he is someone unbelievably special. What a day. A turning point in a person's life. What a day. A day that will never be forgotten. And in this passage that we've read from John's Gospel, we heard about five people meeting Jesus. Five people whose lives would be completely changed by the experience. We heard that the story begins with John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who had been baptizing somewhere near the River Jordan. And all sorts of people had made their way to John, to the remote spot where he was teaching and leading people. And some came to repent and be baptized, and some came just to ask him questions. But John the Baptist made it clear that he was not the one that they were called to follow. He was simply pointing to the one who would come after him. The one who was far greater than anything that he would ever be. Someone whose sandals he wasn't even worthy of tying the laces on. And then Jesus came. The one that they had been preparing for. And on this particular day that we read about, John the Baptist was there with two of the people who were following him. Two people who'd come to learn from him. Two of his disciples. And when Jesus passed by, John said, Look, that's the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The one who will carry the sins of the world upon himself. And these two people, they decide that Jesus is the one that they are going to follow. They want to find out more. We know that one of those people, from verse 40, was a man called Andrew. We're not told who the other one is. That's strange, isn't it? We're told one is Andrew. Who is the other one? Well, the reality is that the other one is more than likely the person who wrote all of this down. Most probably John. John, who became an apostle. John, who wrote this gospel. One of the two sons of Zebedee. One of the ones who had a fishing business on the Sea of Galilee. Very likely this was the one who would later be referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John didn't like to mention himself in his writings. And so if that's the case, if this was John being called, then this is his account. This is his personal memory. This is his thoughts and his memories of that very special day for him. His memory of Jesus turning to him and asking him, What do you want? What do you want? It was his memory of Jesus saying to him, Come. Come and you will see. Come and you will discover the truth about who I really am. It was John's memory of an amazing day spent with Jesus, imprinted on his memory. So much so that he even noted the time. He said it was about 4 PM, as we read in the Gospel. A very special day, a very special moment. A time that John was not going to forget, ever. And as for the other person that met Jesus that day, well, as we're told, his name was Andrew. And what was the first thing that Andrew did when he had heard about Jesus? Well, we're told that he went and told somebody else. He went and told his brother, Simon. And what did he say to him? He said, "We have found the Messiah." This was news that had to be shared. Just as you'd have to share that the Queen was sitting next to you in church this morning. You'd have to tell somebody. And that's what Andrew does. He goes out and he tells his brother. This is what they had been hoping for. This is a fulfillment of all the prophecies. That the Messiah, God's chosen one, was here. And he was here and now with them. He didn't just tell his brother. He took him. He took him, it says in verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. It wasn't just a casual mentioning. Guess who I met today? It was a, you've got to meet him as well. This is so important. You've got to come with me and meet this Jesus. So that's what Simon did. He went and he met Jesus. And when Simon arrived, he discovered that Jesus knew all about his background. He knew that he was the son of someone called John. And he seemed to understand, Jesus seemed to understand the potential that there was there in Simon's life. And he says to him in verse 42, "You know, you're not going to stay being called Simon. I'm going to give you a new name. You will be called Cephas." A name that we translate as Peter. A name that means the rock. That's the new name I'm going to give you. You think that would be strange? If you met someone for the first time and you introduced yourself to them and you said, "Oh, you know, my name's Matt." And they said straight away, "No, you can have a new name now." You'd think that was a bit strange, wouldn't you? But of course, it wasn't strange at all for Jesus, because Jesus knew everything about Simon. Jesus knew his character. Jesus knew the kind of person he was. And Jesus knew that Simon had the potential in him of being the rock. No one else knew that. Not even Simon himself. If we'd have been there, we wouldn't have described Simon as being the rock. He was impulsive. He was unreliable. He was prone to put his foot in it. That was his character. That's what we'd have seen in him. He was this burly fisherman with a northern accent. We wouldn't have called him the rock, but Jesus knew all about him. Jesus knew that here was a man who would have a key role in the formation of the church, in the formation of a movement that would spread across the world. Jesus knew Simon's potential. And so he could say, "No, you're Peter, the rock." So that was that first day three people who met Jesus. John, who would record it and never forget the moment. Andrew, who would go and fetch his brother Simon and bring him to Jesus. And Simon, who had his name changed, because now he was Peter the Rock. Verse 43 in our reading tells us that the story continues. The next day, it says, was another special day for another person. Jesus found Philip and said to him, verse 43, follow me. Follow me, Philip. And Philip's response was just like Andrew's, and he went to tell someone else about it. A man called Nathanael. He told him that Jesus of Nazareth was the one that the prophecies were all about. And Nathanael, what's Nathanael's reaction to that? Jesus from Nazareth, do you say? Nazareth? That's a bit of an unlikely place for the Messiah to come from. A bit of a nowhere place, really. A nothing special kind of place. A bit remote, a bit detached. Why would the Messiah come from there? Philip's answer to Nathanael is, come and see. Come and see. Don't discount this man Jesus without finding out the facts. Come and see. Don't judge Jesus on the basis of your prejudices or your preconceptions. Come and see. Come and experience Jesus for yourself. Come and see. Well, when a friend gives you an invitation like that, that's what you do. You go and you see. And we heard how Nathanael went to meet with Jesus. And when he met with Jesus, he discovered that Jesus knew all about him. Jesus says to Nathanael, he says, here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Again, that would be a bit surprising, wouldn't it? If you met someone for the first time and they said to you, I know you, there's nothing false in you. Oh, wow, that's a bit surprising. And you'd say, how do you know? How do you know me? That's what Nathanael asked, that's what you'd ask, that's what I'd ask. How do you know me? And Jesus said, I saw you, verse 48, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree. Under the fig tree? That's a bit strange, isn't it? What had Nathanael been doing under the fig tree? Well, the truth is we don't know what Nathanael had been doing under the fig tree. But Nathanael knew what he'd been doing under the fig tree. And now he knew that Jesus knew what he'd been doing under the fig tree. And the suggestion is, and often in the Bible, The fig tree is portrayed as a sign of God's blessing and God's provision. The fig tree is seen as a sign of God's kingdom being established. Zechariah chapter 3 verse 10, it says, in that day each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord. That's looking forward to that time when God's reign is fully known and fully established. A place of security. A place of fellowship together. And Jesus says to Nathanael, I know you. I know what's in your heart. I know that you're longing for God's rule and God's reign to be established. and that you want to be part of that. And Jesus said to him, I see you. I see you, Nathanael, with all your doubts, with all your questions, with all your preconceptions, I see you sitting under the fig tree, under God's rule and God's reign. Jesus knew what was on Nathanael's heart, and he calls him to come and to follow him. And that was a turning point in Nathanael's life. And Jesus promised him that he would see wonderful things, even more wonderful than their father Jacob had seen in his dreams and visions from God. You know, Nathanael's only mentioned once more in the New Testament, once more by name at least, and that's in John chapter 21 verse 2, where he is among those who saw the risen Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. You see, he was there at the beginning and he was there at the end with Jesus because his life had been transformed. And that's how it was for each of those who met Jesus that day. John, Andrew, Simon, Peter, Philip, and Nathanael. They were all to be numbered amongst the 12 closest followers of Jesus. What a day that was for them. The day that they met Jesus. The day that Jesus dealt with them, each one uniquely and in a different way, according to their character and according to their needs. That day that Jesus called them and said, come and see. Come and see. And you know, that's still true today. Jesus invites all kinds of people to follow him. And he invites each one of us in a different way because he knows us completely and knows how we respond to things. But he calls us to be his people together. Each one of us has something to contribute. Each one of us has something to bring. Each one of us can know Jesus in our lives and then share that story with others. What about you? Can you in your story say, what a day, the day that I met Jesus. The day that I responded to his call to come and see and to follow him. Is that part of your story? Because he's still saying it. He still says, follow me. Jesus still says, come and see. And he calls us as we are. John and Andrew and Simon, Peter and Philip and Nathanael were not the finished article. They were not the finished article at all when they started following Jesus. But Jesus knew that. And he called them with their weaknesses and their imperfections. You know, the truth is, you don't have to pass some kind of theological driving test to be a follower of Jesus. You don't have to pass an exam before you follow him. He knows us and calls us as we are. He knows you and calls you as you are. As the writer Max Lucado puts it, God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. He wants you to be like Jesus. Jesus calls you to follow him every day, through everything. And when we say, Lord, I just can't make it through today, Jesus says, follow me, come and see, come and see. When we cry out, Lord, I just can't decide what to do, what decision to make, Jesus says,
Follow me. Come and see. Follow me. When we say, Lord, I just can't face this ill health. I can't face all these responsibilities that I have. Jesus says, come and see. Follow me. Perhaps we know that God is calling us into a particular service within the life of the church. And our response is, I can't do that. That's not me. I can't take on that responsibility. Jesus says, come and see. Follow me. And let's see. Do you hear his call upon your life to follow him? Just like John and Andrew and Simon Peter and Philip and Nathanael, you will see. Because the one who calls you is faithful and can be trusted. John Bell of the Iona community. Some of you will have heard him speak. Some of you may have heard some of the songs that he's written over the years. He wrote this one particular song that begins with these words. It says, will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you let the blinded see if I but call your name? Will you set the prisoners free and never be the same? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you, and you in me. Let's pray together. Lord, what a day that was. The day when you called John and Andrew and Simon Peter. And what a day that was when you called Philip and Nathanael. And for each one of those individuals, they could have turned away from you. They could have heard your call and then rejected it. But we thank you that they didn't. We thank you that they heard your call and responded to it. And there was the beginning of your church. Lives responding in obedience to your call to them. We thank you, Lord, that you still call people today. Lord, perhaps we can sit here this morning and give you thanks that you called us and for that day when we responded to that call. Or perhaps we sit here this morning knowing that we need to respond to your call upon our lives. Lord, help us to be obedient. Help us to respond to you as you say, come and see. You might not know all the answers. You might not know how you're going to face the things that you lead us into, but come and see. follow me. And then you will know. And then you will discover. Lord, may we hear your call and respond to it, knowing that as we follow you, in you we can have confidence and hope, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you alone are the one who is worthy to be followed. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Amen. We're going to sing again and